Welcome to the Fantasy NASCAR Podcast, brought to you by RaceForThePrize.com, Darlington Xfinity Series, Positive Regression. What we're looking at in this podcast is comparing where drivers run in terms of their driver rating rank. So we rank drivers based on driver rating, who is the best to who is the worst. But then, and we make it into an integer form, so he was the best driver. He had the second highest rating, third highest rating, which pretty much translates into their average running position. So if you had the third highest rating, then you should have finished third. But then we compare that rating versus where they actually finished. Did they finish where they should have? Did they do better than where they ran? Or have they finished worse than where they are typically running? We can take this data and maybe, you know, see who has some positive regression, maybe who's been lucky. There's a lot of questions that we can ask looking at this. I did it for the Truck Series. We'll do it again for the Xfinity Series. If you want to get your hands on this data, RaceForThePrize.com, Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. It's in the description below. $25 for the month of May. Big month. Love to have you here. Love to share this data with you. Make it easy. Save you time. You don't have to scour the internet. It's all here in one sheet. I'm always adding new things and options. Hope you enjoy it. Like, subscribe, share. All right, so the first question is, when we see that a driver finishes better, and you can see on your screen over here, we can see that, like, look, Cole Custer is typically finishing much worse than where he runs. And so if we look at the races that matter, Las Vegas, Phoenix, Richmond, Texas, Dover, those are the ones that I'm highlighting, and then we average it out. He is, on average, finishing 30 spots worse than where his rating rank suggests that he should finish. That is 31st. So maybe some positive regression is coming. I mean, you think, you look at Dover in particular, some bad luck in this race. Well, what happened was, remember, he's the only guy that hits pit road right before that rain situation. He was leading most of the race, which actually, real quickly to break down that Dover race, because I don't feel like I spent enough time identifying the speed, but real quickly, at Dover, our last race, Allgaier can control stage one. Then, because we get some early pits towards the end of stage one, guys stay out. So that shuffles the order. Allgaier had the best car in stage one. May have had the best car all day. But as we have seen with short stages in the Xfinity Series, you can pit early and try to manipulate things. So what happens is Custer's actually the first car with four tires off pit road going into stage two. And he navigates the traffic of the drivers that stay out, and he cycles to the lead, and stage two belongs to him. He then controls the lead in stage three. We have the rain, and everything hits the fan, and Allgaier wrecks at the end. Custer is able, with the cautions, to recover from the poor pit decision, but ultimately finishes four spots then where his rating rank suggests that he should have been. And you can look over here. Because he was in control of the race through stage two and most of stage three, he gets a really high Dietrich data rating, which is very similar to a driver rating. And ultimately, he doesn't get the finish he deserves. So we could say, hey, positive regression coming. That's one of the things and ways that we can look at this. There's a lot of questions that we can ask. First of all, is it smart racing? Sometimes you're going to see drivers that typically finish better than where they run. Are they hanging in there? Are they methodically playing the game? Are they letting the race come to them? Maybe it's luck. Maybe they're biding their time and are methodical. You have to make that decision on your own. But you'll have a general idea if you're watching the races and consistently looking at this data with the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet to be able to discern which might be luck and which might be method. And so you just typically ask yourself, is regression coming, positive or negative? Is good luck coming? Who would possibly find an undervalued driver who's had a string of bad performances that's ready to break out, just needs his luck not really to be lucky, but just to neutralize and to finish where that driver should finish. Now, first of all, when you look at the top cars, you're seeing these negative numbers. The numbers don't look good. Custer ranks 31st, but that's when we compare him against the field, and it's not fair to compare the top-tier drivers in terms of regression or comparing rating rank versus finish to the field. We really want to do apples to apples and always compare the top tier to the top tier in this situation. And that's because these guys really can't gain any spots. They have limited upside in the statistic because he's already running up front. He can't really finish much better than where he runs. If you run in second place all day and that's your driver rating, you can't really post a big number and finish better than where you run. And that's what we see from the front. So what we really are looking for is, who loses the least? And then you see Justin Allgaier. Boy, if there ever was a positive regression candidate, then Justin Allgaier is your guy who is really running well this season. We look at the rating rank all year, 84. Look at the tracks that matter that I think. He is number one on the board, but he's not getting the results. Now, you can take it two ways. Glass half full, glass half empty, however you want to look at it. Like, well, he's just not delivering. Yeah, but at some point he is going to. He does have speed in the car. He has been snake bitten. He has burned people a lot. And maybe that's going to lower his ownership. Maybe a lot of people are going to jump off of playing him. But you can see clearly, like, wow, he is burning us often. There's speed in the car. Things are going to turn around at some point. Things are going to change. I can feel it. Beck, come on. Now, loser, baby. Eric Almirola. Now, another way to look at it is, all right, well, some of these guys are getting it done. Some of these guys aren't making mistakes. Some of these guys are sealing the deal. I'm kind of surprised here. You see Sheldon Creed, a guy that we would expect to post a Justin Allgaier type number, where reckless driver who is not finishing races, but, and he does have a couple negative ones here, but in his last race, 92 rating, finished where he's supposed to. Maybe Creed is coming into his own. Maybe, you know, he's finally starting to groove with this JGR team. Something to look at for sure. Chandler Smith, on average, is not really finishing worse than where he runs. He's fast in practice. He's fast all season. He's fast in the race. And he's finishing where he should overall at the tracks that matter. Second highest rating. And he's significantly cheaper than these other drivers. Austin Hill, another guy, getting it done for the most part. Dover doesn't work out. Things get crazy at the end. Now, again, what I'm doing here is not an average of these numbers, because that would be too skewed. These big, bad days would really hurt their numbers. We're doing a median to find out what a better, more honest, accurate number to see. But overall, Austin Hill delivering. The top tier is not necessarily the best place to really use this data, but it is there to kind of help you see a little bit of what's going on and get a better understanding of what's happening in these races heading into Darlington. And definitely if we see a crazy stage three, we could see more of these results where they aren't finishing quite where we would like to see them. It gets a little bit more interesting when we look at kind of the secondary tier and definitely the value drivers. So let's just keep on going down through the grid and seeing if some guys are doing a little bit better than where they should. Sam Mayer, not bad, pretty much doing his thing. AJ, positively moving forward with a 2, ranking 13th on the board. Riley Herbst, another guy, positive aggression, probably coming. And again, this is a median. This is not an average. A median, and it's minus 11. He is really due for some good luck. I mean, overall, he has top 5 speed at the tracks that matter. And yet, he is just simply running into wrecks. Now, maybe he just doesn't got it. Maybe he just can't finish races. But I don't believe that. Eventually, he's going to avoid some of these wrecks. At 8,800, he's burned a lot of people. His ownership's probably going to be low because of that. Now, sometimes these happen and they suppress the salaries a little bit. We haven't seen DraftKings really overreact to bad luck. They're still honoring his speed that he is showing. So we're not really getting the discount that we sometimes would like. But there's another angle to that. He's not getting the discount, so that's not going to raise his ownership. He is burning people, so that's going to continue to lower ownership. And Herbst could be that gym that you want to go to. Jesse Love's been pretty consistent getting it done, but then again, Dover went Dover on us. I wouldn't overreact to that. We're seeing a lot of drivers with finishes that weren't really as good as they could be. But again, another thing to take from that is when we get so many drivers doing this, a negative 14 for Love, a negative 11 for Herbst, he loses 11 spots. That's 11 drivers that gain a spot. Those 11 drivers that gain a spot are those middle tier, are those mid-packers, and maybe even one of the guys towards the back that are going to gain. And if we're seeing this consistently at a lot of races in the Xfinity Series where top drivers are just not finishing where they should, really does open the door to value, really does boost our mid-pack, and maybe you want to consider leaning more into the low 8K, 7Ks when constructing lineups, knowing that the top guys, the top brats, are, you know, putting each other in the wall, they're wrecking up front, and Darlington definitely seems like a place where we could get some more of that this weekend. Carson Quapel is one of those guys that benefited at Dover, ran well around the top 10, but he avoided the carnage at the end, had some really good restarts, gained six spots at 8,300. Why can't he work that magic again at Darlington? I know it's going to be a tough track for him, but they're all tough tracks. And every time he faces a tough track, he gets it done. He and his crew chief have been excellent. His crew chief has been better or great with other drivers. Junior Motorsports looking pretty solid this season. Brandon Jones, are we not surprised to see him have some negative numbers and not finish where he should? After a disappointing last season, they brought in a new crew chief, and it's more of the same. Taylor Gray didn't work out for him either, getting into a wreck at Dover as well. I think a wreck at Dover, a wreck at Kansas in the trucks late in the race. Tough go for him at the moment. Could be due for some positive regression. The speed is maybe not as good as you'd want to see, but still, he's there in the mix, and he's close enough to in the mix that when a all guy or at all have their issues, he could be the one that gains. If Quapel can gain, Gray can gain. Sammy Smith, another guy who's run into issues. All of these, I mean, like, really, it's just gotten everybody. But overall, Smith has been pretty consistent. We could consider him. Parker Kligerman, his bad race is one that we don't care about. But in races that we do care about, he is finishing the race and finishing a little bit better than where he runs. And where does he run? We look over here at the driver Dietrich data rating. He's about a 13th place driver. So if we take the math, say, all right, he's around a 13th place driver. And I think we all agree he can run in the top 15. And so if he runs in the top 15, on average, he gains three spots. And we know up front, they're wrecking each other. Maybe you could even give him five spots. An eighth place finish from a 7,300 Parker Kligerman. Even if he starts sort of close to the front, which we would expect him to do, he can work. And he is never really a big target for anybody. And his price has fallen enough down to 7,300 that when you look at this data, it is definitely something that we could consider throwing in there. SVG absolutely does not surprise me with having a positive number. He's out there just turning laps mainly. So his driver rating is never really going to be that great, right? 23rd. And Darlington is a track that does scare me for him. I think he's going to be very conservative and play it very safe in this race. But that's a good thing. Play it safe. Wait for things to happen. Let the race come to you. And you can see that he has done this pretty well in other races. Phoenix, 10 spots gained by just doing his thing. Two spots at Richmond, two spots at Texas. He's one of those guys that got the boost at the end of Dover. No one's going to want to play him at Darlington. At 7,000, he's capable of running 20th. And if it gets hairy at the end, he's very close to sneaking into that top 10 range. Sieg, really kind of not necessarily doing what we would like for him to do. Again, the Sieg cars had a horrible day at Dover. I am worried with where their equipment stands at the moment with everything getting wiped out. Anthony Alfredo, overall, when we compare the entire field. Now, we're going to see as we go towards the back, drivers that are going to gain more because they can gain more. The spots open up, right? The guys at the top can't really move forward. But when we get to the mid-pack, and especially the backpack, we're going to see drivers with higher numbers because they have the opportunity through attrition, through wrecks, to gain spots. But it's not guaranteed. And on average, he is finishing five spots better than where he runs at 6,600. He's running 22nd in the races that matter. I would argue he's a little bit better because we're factoring in some of these early races where he wasn't great. But you look recently, he is running pretty well. He's running in the top 20. He runs in the top 20. You throw five more spots on that, a top 15 finish at 6,600. We like it a lot. We like his methodical approach. Again, you could say, oh, he's lucky. Or you could say that, no, Alfredo's just biding his time, hanging in there, staying on the lead lap, and staying out of trouble. If he consistently demonstrates this talent, maybe it is something that you should believe in. It's just a question you have to ask. Are you glass half full? I mean, it's almost like that meme. He keeps getting away with it. Well, Anthony Alfredo, Fast Pasta, is getting away with it. And you might want to keep riding it while it lasts. He's staying out of trouble. He's running his race. And he's getting finishes better than where he runs. Parker Retzlav, not doing that. Which, again, there, 6,500. He might be undervalued. So because he is not finishing these races as well, that is hurting his Dietrich Data score a little bit. And on average, he's just not finishing the races where he should. Things are just not going his way. If things neutralize a little bit, he could easily be a top 10 car. Top 15 car, no doubt. 6,500. But, you know, you ask yourself, you want to say that he's luck will turn it around, or that Alfredo just keeps on doing what he's doing? Jeb Burton, a guy very due for some positive regression. Whereas the Anthony Alfredo Jordan Anderson car is on one side of the coin, constantly doing much better than what he should. You've got Jeb Burton, who now is at 6,400 in similar equipment, who is not doing what he should. He did bounce back at Dover, had a good race, finished better than where he ran. Maybe that's a sign of things to come. If everyone's piling on Alfredo and Retzlav from watching this video, you decide, oh, guess what? I'm going to swerve. Or by analyzing the data at the spreadsheet, you decide that Burton's your guy, you get lower ownership, go for it. Josh Williams has been getting positive regression, has been consistently finishing. Again, it depends on how you want to look at it. Is this his methodical approach? Is he a smart race car driver? Is he taking what the car's giving him and slowly working his way and making his moves? Or do you want to say that I think that maybe his luck might run out? I tend to think it might be a little bit of both. I don't mind to continue to ride that at 6,200. He can run in the top 20. He can benefit from the attrition at the end. And so if you give these guys a conservative projection, like, oh, I think you can finish 20th at Darlington, you boost in the attrition score up to 15th, and that's your GPP play at 6,200. 6,100 from Matt Benedetto. He got into a wreck in this race, thought he had a top 15 car. Looks like he probably did have a top 15 car. He is a smart race car driver over his career, finishing much better often than where he runs. Just signed a full season. Positive vibes there at 6,100. Again, we do have concern about the seed cars, but hopefully we do get some practice. We'll see how rain plays out on Friday. And if the cars look good at Sieg, and I know it's only quasi-aligned with Sieg, and it doesn't seem like his car was significantly killed. And I know that they are trying to build this program, so they may not have the most equipment there at Viking. So we do want to keep our eyes on him this weekend. But again, he was able to finish the race. It wasn't the worst possible damage in that race at Dover. Clements, getting it done. He does have this negative number that's Talladega, but if the tracks that matter, on average, he's finishing three spots better. Again, small team operation, been going on for years. Running safe in the top 20, staying out of trouble, getting finishes better at 6,000. Not the flashy name that a lot of people want to go to, but you can remember in the past, we were often paying 7,000 for Jeremy Clements. 6,000? And we have so much value down here. I would expect his ownership to be very low. Kyle Weatherman had a lot of speed in the last race. The Gosselin cars look good. Finished 10 spots better than where he ran at Dover. I like this play, just like all the others. On average, it's kind of right there in the middle. Not quite as good, but he's definitely in play. Kyle Sieg didn't work out for a lot of the Sieg cars, obviously, at Dover. They had their issues. But overall, he is running his race and then finishing a little bit better than where he runs. On average, three spots better. Again, there are so many options down here. We may not even really need to worry about ownership. Ultimately, what will be a deciding factor is going to be the place differential. We're trying to find out who's going to win the mid-pack. They are so close. They are all so close. Now, obviously, Alfredo and Retzlav, I think, have the most speed and been the most consistent. But these guys are not that far off. And again, the second part in our flowchart is, all right, who can win the mid-class? Who can win the mid-pack race? But also, even if you finish second or third in the mid-pack, you might be the better play based on place differential. And then as we get to the bottom, we're going to see much more higher numbers simply because these guys are running in the back all day and they benefit from attrition. Now, that's not to dismiss what they have done and their high ratings. Again, we want to compare apples to apples. We don't really want to compare, oh, he's got a big number and the guys up at the top don't have big numbers. We want to look at, okay, who's the best among the backpack, the Lemons class, the LM, the Lemons, the CE class. Who's going to maximize finishing position in this group? Also, we want to maximize place differential. But again, we're looking at the data to see who is consistently doing that, who's staying out of trouble, and then benefiting from the attrition at the end. You could say luck, but I would argue once we get back to this deep group, we really want to see, okay, who is consistently doing this over and over and over? They have a plan. They have an approach. They're playing it safe. They're not as reckless as the other drivers. Brennan Poole has been pretty solid. And we have seen Poole in the optimal lineup in the last two Darlington races. Smithley has been pretty good, keeping it out of trouble. Leland Honeyman also benefiting, has some really big numbers at Phoenix. Decent numbers there, decent numbers there. Again, just keep it safe, keep it clean, and you can boost up at the end. Ryan Ellis, very solid. Balicki, not enough data. The one that really surprises me the most, if you are getting really crazy this weekend, because typically we come in these weekends, we don't want to punt with some of these guys. You don't believe in any of these cars. Perkins, Emmerling, Cram, Fincham. When we ask ourselves, can they maximize finishing position in the Lemons class? No, they can't. But look at what Cram has done. 6 spots on average he gets. If he is starting DFL, dead effing last, look, 7 at Phoenix, 8 at Richmond, 6 in the last Dover race, at 4,600. He was nowhere on my board coming into the week. But when you look at this data and you see that he is consistently just out there in his JD Motorsports car turning laps, staying out of trouble, watching people wreck around him and just, all right, I'll take a spot. He's not completely dead in the water. If for whatever reason we end up chasing place differential from expensive drivers and we've got to go to the dumpster, then Cram is somebody that we could probably put something behind and believe in. Believe it or not, right? I didn't think I would go in this direction. But this is just some of the data that you can use at the Fantasy NASCAR spreadsheet. I hope that this was helpful. If it was, like the video. If it wasn't, like the video. Come on, what are you doing? If you watched this long, you have to hit the like button. There's no way that you didn't like it if you're sticking around this long. Pause whatever you're doing. Put down the hot dog and hit like. You put the hot dog in your left hand, click like with your right button. Right hand. Not hard. Not hard to do, guy. Share the video, recruit people. Love having you here. We're really blessed that you guys keep watching these videos. Love you guys. Trip to life, fantastic.